Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Best in the World with Richard Parr, where each week I speak to an Olympic champion, a world number one, or a world record holder to find out what they do to become the very best in their sports. This week we're on the slopes again with Mario Matt. Mario Matt is the reigning men's slalom Olympic gold medalist from the 2014 Sochi Games. And at the age of 34, he became the oldest person to win that event in history. He's now retired and he talks about what he's up to now on this podcast. He talks about having waited his whole career to finally win Olympic gold. He talks about his diet. He talks about his family and much, much more on this week's Best in the World with Richard Parr. Really fun chat with Mario Matt. Just before we get to the conversation with the Austrian skier, I want to tell you about 99 Designs. 99 Designs can help design anything that you want, from a logo to a website to a poster to a business card. All you got to do is go to sportacino.com/99designs. And if you don't like what they produce for you, you can get your money back. And you know, if you use our link, sportacino.com/99designs, and you end up getting something designed by them, a little bit of that money does come back to us here at The Best in the World with Richard Parr. So you would also be supporting our show while you get something brilliantly designed by one of their talented freelancers from all across the world. Go and check it out, sportacino.com/99designs. All right, let's get on with the interview with the Olympic champion skier, Mario Matt.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Mario Matt, 2014 slalom Olympic champion. Welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr. So great to have you on the program today. Of course, it's a couple of years after you decided to retire from the sport. So why don't we get up to date with what you're up to at the moment, please, Mario?
Yeah. I retired like 2015, 2 years ago. So, yeah, I'm still very busy. We're running a après ski bar in St. Anton, the Crazy Kangaroo. So it's very busy in winter time. And besides this, I have the horses. We are breeding purebred Arabian horses. And yeah, it's all year long, very busy time, actually.
Everyone always thinks that owning and running their own bar sounds like the dream job. Is it quite the case, Mario?
Yeah, it's for sure hard work. It's not so easy like it looks from outside. It's, behind you need a very strong team, and we have about 30, 35 staff. And, of course, it needs, you need to be really strict in everything, and it's really hard 4.5 months, because we have, like, in winter time from beginning of December until mid of April, open every day. So we run normal. We are on the mountain on the ski resort, and we have normal lunch. We cooking lunch, and then it's like 3:30 the après ski starting until 8. So it's It's quite a busy day.
Sounds tiring. What have you been able to take from your skiing career, be it lessons that you've learned or processes that you have, that you've been able to incorporate by working in this bar and running this bar?
I think it's doesn't matter what you do, which job you do, but with sport or on a high level, you always can learn a lot and can put it in the next job you do. Because you have to be consistent and you have to fight for your goals and to have goals in life. It's also in the normal life. It's important and to work hard to achieve these goals. So it's also in every other job. I think it's important to have these goals and just be consequent and work on this.
What have you set for the crazy kangaroo? What goals have you set for it?
Of course, I'm a person who likes everything always perfect. And within the sport, you need to be successful kind of person like this, I think, because then even when you are winning races, you always have to push harder and train and have new goals to get better and improve. And of course, with the Crazy Kangaroo, it's the same. It's a well-known bar and it's very busy. But of course, I'm always thinking what we can improve, what we can make better and all these things, and that all the guests are coming, are happy and having a great time. That's the most important.
And you mentioned the horses there as well. Where did that interest come?
I started actually when I was a little child. Every time when we were driving with my parents somewhere and I saw horses on the side of the streets, I wanted to stop and see these horses. And it was always a dream to have my own. And when I finished, after I was 18, I finished the ski school where I was. I bought my first horses and I started 2 years later my own breeding. And yeah, it's a big, big part in my life. So we're enjoying it really a lot.
Fantastic. And one of the things which I've learned by interviewing over 70 Olympic and world champions now is you're all very good at time management. And obviously you've got to work on the bar, you've got to work with the horses. I'm sure you're still doing quite a bit of skiing, maybe recreational and otherwise. How do you manage your time? Do you have any processes you do? Do you use any apps? Do you write things down? How do you keep your time management?
I'm not doing really anything, but it's when you do so many years the sport, because before when I was still active, it was easy. It was in the morning was training, then I had a little lunch break, in the afternoon training again. So it was always on the priority was the training. And after I finished my training, I had time for different things, for the horses or what else. And yeah, but now I'm still spend a lot of time in at the farm. I work the horses myself pretty much most of the time, and I enjoy it a lot, because during the active time I was always regretted sometimes that I have not so much time to enjoy the horses, and this part I can now enjoy more, and this is what I like. And of course in winter time if the bar is different, the most of the time I'm there, it's a priority there, and after this the horses then. So it's all year something different a little bit.
Variety is the spice of life, they say.
Yes.
Do you have any other regrets of some of the things that you sacrificed during your competitive career?
Not really. I did everything what I wanted to do, of course. And sometimes, of course, when you're young and like the beginning of the career, like 16 or 20. This time, of course, it's sometimes more fun to go out with friends, but of course, it's not always possible, but I still enjoy it. A great time with my friends, going out, having fun. I did everything I wanted, actually, and still, of course, you cannot do it so often like the normal young people, but it was still enough, and it was for sure fun. But of course, sacrifice sometimes, maybe, yeah, like I said before, with the horses a little bit, but the rest, I think I did all what I wanted to.
Mm. So in those early days, was there a turning point? Was there an age where you'd been skiing, you were quite good, but you were still having fun with your friends? And then was there a moment where you were like, I'd like to have fun with my friends, but you know what? I'm actually taking skiing now to next level. I want this to be my profession. I want this to be something I'm going for. Was there an age where you almost realized this is what I want to do? This is what I want to achieve in the next 15 years?
Yeah, I never really thought about these things. I was developing like normally. I was, when I was a little child, around 6 years old, it started like this, doing the small races around here, and I was always successful, and then always one step higher, and then like Austrian level. And of course, around 10 years old, then was the decision about school. And we have a really good ski school here where you can make a good education, you say, I think, in school and also in sport. So you have a daily routine where you work, you go to school in the morning, and after lunch in the afternoon, you have training. So I think at this time or this age, it's really important to learn this and to get used to this rhythm, because I don't know, and also was not sure if with 15, 14, 15, 16, it's a difficult age. And when you're not in a system like this, it's maybe not so easy. But for this age, I think it's perfect to do a school like this for these 4 years. And then, yeah, I was in the fifth races, like in the Austrian and then European Cup team. And so it went really amazingly fast for me, because I was only 1 year in the European Cup team, and then already with 20 years, I won the first World Cup race. So I was pretty a long time in the World Cup circuit.
Mm. Was that like your third race in the World Cup circuit that you won? Is that what I saw?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Could you believe it when it happened?
Yeah, it was one of the most important races also. It was Kitzbühel, and so it was spectacular. Of course, I knew I was really fast, but of course with number 47 what I had in this race, you cannot expect to win. And of course my goal was to make points, because I was not in the top 30 at this time, and to make points that I get a better PIP number. And this was the goal at this time. But then it went so quick, and I won the third race already.
Mm. Did you then look back at that race at all, and did you analyze anything that you specifically did there? And from that, were you able to take that experience for future races?
I have to say, in this age, I was pretty relaxed, and I didn't think about things. That's the good thing. When you're young, you don't think much about things. So this is also what sometimes can be a problem. When you get older, you think about more about things, and when you're young, you don't do it. So it was easy at this time. I just tried to ski so fast as possible, and was pretty relaxed for all the rest. So, but it went really well the first season. Then I could make another victory, and from this time on, I was always on the podium, and in the front. And also the second year then, we had the World Championship in St. Anton at my hometown. And yeah, this was also unbelievable when you think like years later about this, that you can make it your hometown world champion and a silver medal. So, but again, when you are young, you don't think about these things. But when you're getting older, you realize that these things are not happen a lot. So it was fantastic result there, yeah.
When you won in St. Anton, by racing at your home, on your home course, did that help in any way? Did it give you an advantage?
Not really. Slalom doesn't matter actually where, which resort, because it can help maybe in downhill when you know the hill more, but in slalom it doesn't change, because with the small distance of the gates, it's anyway, every time you set the course, it's different, so it doesn't change. But yeah, of course, to be home, and also the races in Austria, I always like the most, because we have such a great atmosphere. Also, like Kitzbühel Schladming, there's about 50,000-60,000 people watching on the course, so it's amazing, like a football stadium. So it's a great atmosphere, always.
Yeah, quite the party atmosphere. And after that World Championship victory, you did suffer an injury in 2002, and you missed the 2002 Olympics. How frustrating was that for you?
Yeah, of course, very frustrating. Also, before I hurt my shoulder, I was leading the World Cup. It was in the end of January. And just like 2-3 weeks before the Olympics, I hurt my shoulder and need to have surgery. So it was a big injury, actually. And yeah, but of course, it was a hard time then. And I felt back with the bib numbers. I had to start all over again with like numbers 48, 49, and to fight back. And of course, you have to set then different goals, because with these high numbers, it's not possible to win races, of course. And you have to set different goals, that you collecting points again and coming down with the number. And it was like 2-3 years. I had really, I think 2 years that I won again a race, but it was a hard time. And of course, then in 2007, when I won again the world champion title in Ore, it was unbelievable, because you knew, then at this time I knew both sides, when you are on top level and when you are completely down. And when you are down at the end, nobody is helping you. You have to take care of yourself and fight really hard and work hard that you're coming back to the top, because when you are down, all the sponsors are, it's going really fast, that it's nobody's interested anymore. So it's a hard time where you have fight on your own. But of course, it helps you for life a lot.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
We'll have more from Mario in just a moment, but if you've got any questions for some of our future guests, you can do that by sending me a tweet at Richard_Parr. And also, we're on Facebook. Go and check out our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/bestintheworld with Richard Parr. Really appreciate it if you could just spend a few minutes, maybe have a look at what's on our page. You might see an old episode that you quite enjoy. Please go and check that out. That's facebook.com/bestintheworld with Richard Parr. And I'm also on Twitter at Richard_Parr. I would love to hear from you. All right, let's return to the conversation with the skiing Olympic champion, Mario Matt.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
We're going to move on in a moment to the 2014 Olympics and everything which happened there. I just want to talk about a few logistical things. And first of all, let's talk a little bit about diet. Was that something you thought about a lot? And what were the type of foods you were eating while you were training and while you were competing, Mario?
Yeah, of course, nutrition is very important. You have to look at the end. It's also in summertime when you have to train two times a day and you have to see that you have enough protein and carbohydrates. That's the main thing. And of course, it's not a specific food now, but it's, of course, over the years you get used to it and you know what's healthy and what's not healthy. So these things is, of course, very important to compete on a high level.
Mm. So give us a typical idea of what you would have for breakfast then, Mario.
Yeah, it depends. I always like more variety, not always the same. So sometimes in the morning, like 2-3 eggs, and to have the protein and like a muesli, and yeah, always also bread I eat and in the morning. So, but it's important before you start training that you have enough protein inside.
Okay. I've just been recently reading a fantastic blog post by the American sprinter Tiana Bartoletta, and she was talking about the difficulty of travel and the having to pay a little bit more for business class seats or first class seats rather than economy to make sure she was rested when she would go to events and make sure she would be able to immediately go on the track once she's got off a plane, so to speak. Were there any things that you would particularly do as part of your travel routine when you would go to different countries to make sure that you were in the best shape possible?
Yeah, of course. The traveling is always a big thing. And the more years I was in this sport, the more problems I got. And of course, we have also by car, big drives, like 7-8 hours. This is always the problem, because with the skiing, you have really, your muscles are really tense in the back also. And then when you sit in the car such a long time, so the most problems we had is always in the back. Of course, and yeah, with long drives, we try to get out of the car like every 2 hours and then make some exercises or some jumps or anything to get more blood circulation in the back. And yeah, this is a big thing for sure and very important. And with flying, of course, also, when we were flying overseas, America or New Zealand in summer for training, and of course, I always try to get a business ticket because it's a big, I'm also 190 centimeters big, so it's much more relaxed, of course. And then when you arrive, that you take your time. Not I've always took it easy, like the first day, and just not skiing the first day, because with all this tension in the muscles, it's I got many times problems. So I took it always a bit easier the first 2 days, and then when I felt ready with my body, and then I started. So I think this is always very important, not to start too early, because then you have just the problems afterwards.
Yeah, I'm 1.88 meters, not quite as tall as you, but still pretty tall, and I feel your pain when you're sitting in economy. It can feel a little bit claustrophobic at times. So let's talk about 2014. Age 34, going into Sochi, did you feel you had a chance of coming away with Olympic gold?
Yeah, of course. I knew that I have a chance, of course. Then otherwise, you don't need to compete. And this was actually this season. This 2014, I had a great season. One was always in the front, always in the top three rankings in the World Cup races. But then the two, three races before the Olympics, I was always very fast, and like I could close to win. But then I fell out like two times, or I think two or three times the races before Olympics, I couldn't finish, so I struggled one time, and stupid things happened. And of course, this was also a time where you get frustrated, because you knew you can win these races, and then with stupid mistakes or stupid things happen, you are not able to achieve this. And also this was a time where I was focused on the winning. Maybe sometimes a bit too much. And when I was traveling to the Olympics, I told myself, just don't think about the winning now, and just concentrate the job you have to do about skiing, and just let the things happen. And this is also sometimes very important, I think, that you just don't think too much about everything, just concentrate on the things you have to do, and just let this happen. And I think with this thinking, I achieved sometimes the most, I have to say.
Would you do any other things on the mental aspect, Mario? Would you do things like visualization skills? Would you do any meditation? Was there anything else that you'd incorporate before a big race?
No, I never did anything about mental training or anything. I just tried to do my thing, what I was thinking, and then just try to relax and concentrate on skiing and on the things what I have to do. This was, I never had other help or anything.
So you're at the top gate, you're about to do your second run at the Sochi Olympics. What's going through your mind?
Yeah, of course, it was on one side a big pressure, but between the first run and second run, it's a lot of time to think about everything. But still, you have to just focus on skiing, otherwise you go crazy. And that's the thing what I try to do, just to focus on my run and let the things happen and give my best. And that's all I could do at the end. But it was also quite hard at the Olympics at Sochi, because the second course was, the course setting was so tricky. And I remember I tried sometimes when you are the last up there. You watch some guys before they run down and they skiing the course. But then I watched some and nobody finished the course. So all the three I watched, they all fell out after 15 gates, I think. So I was thinking, no, that's not working. I have to just do my own thing and concentrate myself. Otherwise, it's not working.
And of course, you did produce the quickest time. You did become the Olympic champion. One thing I noticed watching the video was the face of Marcel Hirscher, who was leading at the time and who you just beat to become the Olympic champion. And there's a very famous Simpsons episode where Ralph has his heart broken and you almost see on the TV that his heart is breaking. It was almost like that with Marcel as you went through the line of his heart almost breaking that he didn't win gold. But what was going through your mind when it happened? Could you believe it? And do you remember it well?
Yeah, of course. I remember every second. And I knew I had a big time advantage when I was on the start. And it was really tricky because I was the last number. And of course, the course is getting more difficult. And yeah, but I tried to fight and give all I had. And when I crossed the finish line, of course, it was amazing. Unbelievable, because it was the last time, my last chance at the Olympics. So I knew it before, this will be my last Olympics. And it's even more, means more when you can be Olympic champion with this at the end of a career, I think, because then you understand the importance of Olympic Games and everything. When you're young, I never thought about these things much. So yeah, of course, it meant a lot to me.
Have you watched it back at all?
Yes, of course, yeah. I watched it, yeah. It was, to watch it live on television must be, also for my parents, must be horrible, because it was because about this course and so many racers fell out and couldn't finish the course. So it was really, really, not easy to watch, let's say it like this.
And of course, your brother was a 2009 ski cross champion. He's also Olympic silver medalist. And I know you've got another brother who's been involved in skiing as well. By you all being pretty good, did that help you in those early days? Were you competitive between each other?
Not really, because I always was the one ski racing, and then the younger brother is 3.5 years younger than me, and he was actually never interested in ski racing. When he was like 14, 15, he started snowboarding. And then when the world championship was in St. Anton and I got world champion, then he got motivated in skiing again, and then he started the ski cross, because of course for alpine skiing, it's too late if you start at this age. And the youngest brother, he's like 14 years younger than me. And when I was starting in the World Cup, he was about 6-7 years old only. So, yeah, but it's great that he's also in the World Cup team now. And he also had a big success last year at his only second season, and he won his first race and 2 times on the podium. So I think he's in a great way and will have hopefully a great future ahead of him.
And hopefully we'll have him on the Best in the World in the future when he's an Olympic and a world champion like you are.
Yeah.
Brilliant to talk to you, Mario. Just before you go, why don't you let us know how we can find out more about you online through social media or anything else you'd like us to be able to find out more about, maybe the crazy kangaroo or anything like that, please?
Yes, of course. Everybody is invited for when you are on holidays in St. Anton or the Arlberg region. We're running the crazy kangaroo, the upper ski bar, and also we have great lunch and amazing upper ski. So of course we would be happy to welcome you. And yeah, you can follow me on Mario Matt com is on my website, and it's always something new to see.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the program, Mario, and thank you for being the best in the world.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Wonderful to speak to Mario on this week's podcast. I'll definitely have to go and check out the Crazy Kangaroo at some point. It sounds like a lot of fun. I'll tell you what also is fun. That is the other podcasts I've had with skiers on The Best in the World with Richard Parr. Very recently, I spoke to Julia Mancuso. Maybe go back and listen to that. Also spoke to Johnny Mosley. He's been on the program, as well as Charlotte Keller. They're all the best in the world Olympic champion skiers. They've been on the podcast, and you can listen to them at sportacino.com. You can listen to them on Acast, acast.com/best. And you can also listen to them on iTunes. And please give us a subscribe and a rating and review if you are on iTunes. One last thing I want to talk about before we go is Patreon. If you've enjoyed this show and you'd like to contribute to us in some little way, you can do that by going to patreon.com/best in the world. There you can donate to this program from as little as $1 a month. That'll help us keep across our costs, from editing to transcribing to just getting the guests in the first place through emails and phone calls and all of the manpower that it takes to produce this weekly podcast where we speak to world champions and Olympic champions. That website again is patreon.com/best in the world. If you get a chance to donate, thank you so much. If you've done it already, we really appreciate your support. All right, I'll be back next week with another episode of The Best in the World with Richard Parr. Goodbye for now.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.